From Greenville, South Carolina, we present... Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. This week, Dr. Alan Cairns is preaching a message entitled The Gifts of the Spirit, part of an extensive series on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. This is a subject which has created much controversy in the church. As we'll see, there are two extremes in the treatment of spiritual gifts. On the one hand, there are those who deny any supernatural activity. Then there are others who insist that all of the miraculous gifts of the New Testament are available to the church today. Those who deny the miracles of the Bible are simply saying that God has no right to intervene in the affairs of men. On the other hand, those who claim those miraculous powers today fail to recognize that whether in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, miracles were always related to God's revelation of redemption. Now that the canon of Scripture is closed, there is no need for such supernatural demonstrations. Before the message, the Reverend Colin Mercer, senior minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, comments on Benny Hinn, charlatan or man of God.
The name Benny Hinn has for some time been linked with the extravagant, excessive and flamboyant. Hinn, a Texas-based self-styled faith healer, was in the news recently for two reasons. Firstly, because he has been examined by the Senate Finance Committee, and secondly, because he was recently denied entry into the UK. I'm not so much interested in Hinn's financial status, except to say that all men ought to do all things decently and in order, and that includes our financial affairs. What interests me is that Hinn ought to be examined for other reasons. There's no denying that a great number of people follow him. Wherever he goes, he attracts crowds. People who have barely heard of him will go to hear him, watch him, and pay him. He works under the banner of religion and claims to be a man sent from God. Now that claim needs to be examined. In 1 John 4 verse 1 we are exhorted, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Now what does that mean? It means that we are to weigh what men say, how men behave, what men believe, in the balances of Scripture. Isaiah chapter 8 verse 20 clearly states, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." You ever wondered why so many people are so deceived by those who profess to be religious? Why they follow so much heresy? Why they reject the old paths of the true gospel and accept something that's very far removed from the truth? Why is that? Because they will not weigh the things of God in the light of Scripture. They will not try the spirits. And that lack accounts for the following Benny Hinn enjoys. If people would only stop and read what he says and think about what he does, things surely would be different. Okay, what does Benny Hinn believe? Let the man speak for himself. Hinn believes that there are nine persons in the Godhead. He said, and I quote, "See, God the Father is a person. God the Son is a person. God the Holy Ghost is a person. But each one of them is a triune being by himself. If I can shock you, maybe I should. There's nine of them." End of quote. Also, Hinn believes that Christ was capable of sin. In his book, Good Morning, Holy Spirit, he wrote, and again I quote, "And let me add this, had the Holy Spirit not been with Jesus, he would have sinned." That's right, it was the Holy Spirit that was the power that kept him pure. He was not only sent from heaven, but he was called the Son of Man, and as such he was capable of sinning. Without the Holy Ghost, Jesus would have never made it. Can you imagine Christ headed for the grave, knowing he would remain there forever, if the Holy Ghost would change his mind about raising him from the dead? End of quote. Furthermore, Hinn believes that Christ became one with the nature of Satan. On a Trinity Broadcasting Network program, he said Jesus knew the only way he could stop Satan is by becoming one in nature with him. It doesn't take a genius to understand that there's something seriously wrong here. This man is not preaching the gospel of redeeming grace through the person and work of Jesus Christ. He is preaching another gospel, which is not the gospel at all. Therefore, the claims, the practices, the behavior, the preaching, the ministry of Benny Hinn needs to be examined. What are we to do here? First of all, we need to know the truth. Learn the great truths of the gospel. Know the Bible. Learn the word. Be grounded in the doctrines of grace. So when someone comes, supposing to be a preacher, exercising a ministry, we can try the spirits. We can assess their ministry in the light of the word of God. Secondly, we are to refuse and expose error. Paul had strong words for those who preached a false gospel. He warned of such a thing in Galatians chapter 1, where he says, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." We are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We ought to pray that men, saints and sinners, would not be deceived and led astray by the notions and nonsense of men. Benny Hinn needs to be examined, and there needs to be a return to the old paths of redeeming grace through the Lord Jesus Christ alone. The Reformers had it right. Justification is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's the message that needs to be preached again.
I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall there get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross needs home. The way of the cross needs home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross needs home. I must needs go on in the blood sprinkled way.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we are greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We're grateful for the letters, the emails, and the phone calls we've received from many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart through His Word. Some have spoken of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the LTBS audio magazine. This is available in CD format only and is similar in content to the LTBS quarterly magazine, containing articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a free copy of LTBS audio magazine simply by writing to LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be baptized? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? And is the emerging church dangerous? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Denial of miracle is based not upon scientific necessity, but it is based upon the presupposition that miracle is impossible. But that's just atheism. Because when you stop to think of it, if God ever wished to intervene in human affairs directly rather than merely in a providential way, if God ever wished directly, as it were, to put His finger into human affairs, that would entail miracle. And when a man says miracle is impossible, all he is saying is, I deny Almighty God the right ever to intervene personally and directly in human affairs. Of course, the Bible denies that kind of atheism and every other kind of atheism. Christianity is a religion that's based on the supernatural. At the heart of Christianity is Christ. He's the supernatural Christ. He is a man, yes, but He is the God-man. The Shorter Catechism rightly says the only Redeemer of God's elect is the Lord Jesus Christ, who, being the eternal Son of God, became man, and so was and continueth to be God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever. That's a supernatural person. He's the Christ of the supernatural birth. His is the virgin birth. He's the seed of the woman. He is the one who was produced by the miracle of God the Holy Spirit overshadowing the womb of the Virgin Mary, so that that holy thing which was born of her was recognized as the Son of God, the virgin birth. He's the Christ of the supernatural life. Every other person who ever walked this scene of time fell into sin. Not the greatest religious leader who ever lived was able to live one day, one hour without sin. Sin is in the very fabric of the flesh of fallen humanity. But here was the supernatural Christ. According to God, he was perfect. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. According to the very devils, he was perfect. We know thee who thou art, the Holy One of Israel. According to his friends, he was perfect. He did no sin. He knew no sin. In him was no sin. That was their testimony. According to his enemies, he was perfect. Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. Supernatural life. And a supernatural death. The Lord Jesus said, I lay down my life. No man taketh it from me. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. The Lord Jesus didn't die from nails through his hands or through his feet. The Lord Jesus didn't die because of weakness on the cross, though he was crucified in weakness. The Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross suffered all the devils and men could give him to suffer. He suffered all that even the wrath of a displeased God, for God was displeased with our sin, and Jesus became sin for us. He suffered all that the wrath of God could give him. I've often pointed out that through all those harrowing hours of suffering, the Lord Jesus never bowed the head. It was only when he had suffered to perfection, when he had paid the price, that then he bowed the head and he gave up the ghost. A supernatural death. Even the soldiers were amazed that he died without them having to help him on his way. And thank God he's the Christ of the supernatural resurrection. For on the third day he did rise. It has often been said that the best attested fact in history is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's true. I have more cause on pure historical evidence to believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ than most of the great facts, quotes, of national history. I'm a lot more sure of the resurrection of Jesus Christ than that Benjamin Franklin said what he's supposed to have said and did what he's supposed to have done. I have the Holy Ghost recording the one. I have men with vested interests recording the other. He's the supernatural Christ. Therefore, when we come into the New Testament scriptures, as in 1 Corinthians 12, we are prepared for the Holy Ghost to show literal, miraculous powers in the church of Jesus Christ. Here we have, as I've said, these gifts. There are nine of them mentioned here. If you turn to verse 28, you'll find there are some more after apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healings. We have helps and governments. Back in Romans chapter 12, verse 6, we have some more mentioned. And these are superbly miraculous gifts involving revelation, illumination, and inspiration directly from the Spirit of God. Now, that's the first thing. The Holy Ghost did give miraculous gifts. Second thing, and here we come to the heart of the matter. Those supernatural gifts were peculiar attendants and confirmations of God's revelation of redemption as it was in the process of being given. Now let me repeat that, for this is at the very heart of the doctrine of the miraculous in the New Testament, and indeed the Old Testament. Those supernatural gifts were peculiar attendants and confirmations of God's revelation of redemption as it was being given. If we turn over to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 4, we will find there that we have given to us in the clearest possible language the purpose of miracle. After talking about the apostles and what they said and did, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, or distributions of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. What was the purpose of the wonders, the miracles, and the gifts of the Holy Ghost? It was God bearing witness to the word, to the revelation that he was giving through his apostles. Now, this is the peculiar purpose of miracle. Here's an interesting thing. If you turn to the book of Acts, you have occasions where the Holy Ghost was poured forth, as on the day of Pentecost, then in Samaria, then in Cornelius' household, and then in Acts 19 among the Ephesians. Now, you look at those instances very carefully, and you'll discover something, that in the book of Acts, every supernatural manifestation of the Spirit of God was in connection with the ministry of an apostle. I am not saying, as in 1 Corinthians 12, that there were no supernatural movements when the apostles were not there. I'm saying they were instituted always in connection with the ministry of an apostle. Now, what is that telling us? Through the apostles, God was giving the revelation of redemption. He was giving us what we now have in the New Testament scriptures. And as he did so, just as he had done throughout the Old Testament, he validated this new revelation by indisputable miracles and signs. That's what he did. When you go through the Old Testament scriptures, you'll find that there were periods of the explosion of miracles. And they were always in connection with some new stage in the continuing revelation of redemption. When we come into the New Testament scriptures, here is the great consummation of the revelation that was begun in the Old Testament. Here is God bringing the scriptures now to completion. And what does he do? As he sends out his apostles with his word, he backs them up with miracles and signs and wonders and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Indeed, in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7, there is a very interesting thing. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. The manifestation of the Spirit. That's a very interesting phrase. There's a little learned discussion, as believe it or not, to the significance of the word of, what kind of a genitive it is. Big word at this time of the morning. But let's take it at the simplest possible thing level. The manifestation of the Spirit surely parallels and equals the gift of the Spirit. Any gift of the Spirit. That's the Spirit manifesting himself. But look at that word manifest. It's a very important word in the New Testament. This form of the word only appears a couple of times, but there are other forms of the word. As a verb, for instance, it appears many times. And you'll find this, that every time this word or one of its related words has God as its subject, that is, that it's God that's doing the manifesting, every time the thought is of a divine revelation, especially of redemption. The truth here, therefore, is just the same as I have been citing from the Old Testament and from Hebrews 2, that when God started to give a revelation of redemption, he backed it home with special miraculous powers.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.